Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This is 938B, but it's going to be a great interview because this is a sensational book. Matt Richtel, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times best-selling author, has written what I think is just outstanding. It's scientifically accurate, it's compelling, it's fun, and let me tell you, as a physician, it taught me a bunch. And he also has one of my favorite stories in there, or stories about one of my favorite people, Jim Allison. So we'll get with Matt Richtel. You'll want to tell your friends about this podcast, because Matt has done just an amazing job. More than that, go to Amazon while you're listening and order this book, or go to Barnes & Noble, or go to your local bookstore and get it, because this is a great book that everyone should read. If all you want to do is know how to live longer and healthier and with less disability. Matt, thanks very much for coming on.
Well, thank you, and thank you for such a gratifying introduction. I hope I remotely live up to it.
Well, the book lives up to it, so I'm not worried.
thank you for having me on.
So Jim Allison is one of my favorite people. And in 2001, as you know, he was singing at a Berkeley coffee house and was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine for singing the immunotherapy blues. And as you know, he is in a band, and they still, I don't know what they're called, it's something related. I don't know if they call them the T cells or the B cells or whatever they call themselves.
The guy can play harmonica.
That's right. In any case, he won a Nobel Prize last year for helping with immunotherapy of cancer, and now believes it will be, it combined with chemotherapy will lead to not cancer being a chronic disease, but cancer being cured. Talk to us a little bit about how you got into the knowing about the immune system and what it meant. And by the way, just as a confession, I'm an old UCSF graduate and was in medical school. Our graduate student advisor was Varmus, and our graduate student faculty advisor was Bishop, which shows you how long ago that is.
You know what? The 15th century was not that long ago, sir. So, listen, my connection to this, remarkably enough, this is an era where we can all point to that Nobel by Jim Allison and conceivably say our lives were touched by it and a guy winning contemporaneously. And this story, this deep dive into the immune system started with a friend of mine, a cancer patient, and I will tell his story briefly. He is one of four remarkable medical cases in this book.
And you're talking about Jason, I assume. Right.
Jason. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado with Jason, but also in the 17th century, or did I say 15th, whatever it was. And Jason was Mr. Everything, all-state baseball, all-state basketball, great-looking guy, got all the girls. Life took a tough turn in his 40s, very tough. He got Hodgkin's lymphoma. For those who don't know, this is supposed to be one of the good cancers, if you will, because it is supposed to be curable through chemotherapy and radiation. But Jason did not get cured, and 3 or 4 years into a very difficult road, as anybody with cancer knows, he was left with 15 pounds of tumor doubling every few weeks in his back. And his oncologist said, "I love you, man, but it's time to go home and die." Jason went into hospice. Enter Jim Allison. At the last second, Jason took one of the drugs, in this case off-market, not labeled for his cancer, that Jim had helped, Dr. Allison had helped spur. remember, he's nine toes in the grave is Jason, and 2 weeks later his girlfriend wakes him up and says, Jason, get out of bed. Your tumor has disappeared. Wow.
Pretty remarkable.
And I pick up my remarkable. I pick up my pen and I say, okay, I'm not satisfied to know only what is immunotherapy. I gotta know what is the immune system and how is it that we are tinkering with it on a molecular level to bring people from the grave.
Well, you have done a world in literally. I don't think there is anyone, maybe with the exception of Jim Allison and a few of his friends, that wouldn't learn from this book. And I'll bet even the docs would learn a whole bunch of the empathy and fun, as well as hardship of immune therapy from this book, although they probably live it as well. But for the rest of us physicians who haven't experienced it in depth, this is a great work. So let's talk about both where I want to go, if I can, Matt. We're talking with Matt Richtel. The book is An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System, A Tale in Four Lives. So just look up An Elegant Defense on Amazon or Barnes & Noble at your local bookstore, because it's a great book. But let's talk. I want to go to a couple places. One is autoimmunity, or the attack of self, and what building up the immune system really means. And the second second place I want to go is the brain, and is the immune system, or is inflammation in the immune system now responsible for a lot of dementia? And what should we look forward to on that? And then anything else you want to go to, point me in that direction. So let's first start about... one of the things people always say is, I want to build up my immune system. And you point out there's really this elegant balance, this neat balance. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So with your permission, maybe it would be helpful to do a little bit of a basic explanation of what our immune system is. And partly, it might sound like a simplistic place to start, but I must say that there's a lot of wrong-headed mythology in the world, and I shared much of that before I began. Could I, to answer your question...
Yeah, let's go there.
...eloquently... Well, I'm not saying I can do it eloquently, but let me just give you, because you've hit the word balance, but I think to explain its significance, it might help for me to just say this. When I began, I thought that the immune system was this zealous police force trying to keep everything alien out of our bodies. And that is only partly so, and in fact, some of it is wrong. And the way to think about the immune system starts by thinking about, by explaining or understanding the world in which we and our immune system exist. So I will paint you that picture. All around us, all around you, listener, friend, participant in this conversation, all of us, there are microbes. They are on the desk. They are on the microphone. They are on the wheel of your car. They are certainly on your skin, and they are in your gut. Microbes everywhere, and most of these, very importantly, would do you no harm. Bacteria, virus, parasite, we live in a world cooperatively with alien organisms. All right, you with me so far, Doc?
I am absolutely with you.
And the reason that is so important, and by the way, you should, since you're the physician, you should correct me if I miss anything, but the significance of that is that as the system evolved, it evolved not to be a war machine that would attack everything alien. If it did that, we would live in scorched earth, or rather, we wouldn't live at all. We would come apart and be a puddle on the floor. Instead, the immune system is an entity, an organism, a network that is aimed at doing, as being as cooperative as it can be, as working as harmoniously as it might, with the world around us and inside of us. And then, and only then, when it faces a very dangerous pathogen, is it capable of doing extreme violence, surgical, precise, powerful, deafening violence. But it only wants to do that if it can do as little collateral damage as possible. And that is why, in sum, I think of the immune system as equal parts bouncer and ballet dancer. It can be tough. It wishes to tiptoe.
Now, so we've got the point that it can be tough and wishes to tiptoe. What determines whether it is tiptoeing or being tough?
So within, and this will all lead to the very good question you were asking about imbalance, which really manifests in all the ways you were describing, autoimmunity, and then we can even talk about cancer. But what determines it, first of all, is, this part I'm going to just say broad terms, there are many, many dozens and dozens of mechanisms, molecules inside the body that are constantly surveilling, assessing, making determinations, smelling even, touching, trying to see, can it get along with this? Can it do something modest or must it strike? But I want to say something very important about the balance. In no small part, the immune system makes its determination by training. And how does it train? It trains through interaction with the natural world. It gets lots of inputs. When you think of your kids, the joke, your kid goes to preschool and gets sick, it's not your kid going to preschool, it's your kid's immune system going to preschool. That immune system is ingesting, if you will, testing. It is a veritable laboratory. It says, oh, this is what that means. Oh, this is what that molecule means. This is what that cell means. And it begins to develop a beautiful, elegant defense.
So your immune system is defending against things that might be harmful, and sometimes it makes mistakes. So tell us about
sometimes
the mistakes.
Yes. Or to put that another way, sometimes the bouncer becomes too powerful or the bouncer is too restrained. And may I take the example you said? I don't want to get ahead of us, but you asked about autoimmunity.
Exactly.
I think I've laid enough background here to get into that a touch.
Go for it.
Okay. Autoimmune disorders are where the bouncer overpowers the ballet dancer. It's a little bit crass of a metaphor, so to be more concrete, it's where your immune system reacts more strongly than it should, and in particular, it reacts to you, your own tissue, your own joints, your own organs, as if you were some foreign invader. And it unleashes the terrible power of the immune system internally.
So, and that can lead, as you implied, to disease of your joints and arthritis. It can lead to, if you will, MS. It can lead to a whole bunch of things. Let's take one of those, if you will. So what's the difference between, quote, inflammation and a,
yes,
quote, inflamed joint, and a joint that has autoimmune destruction of it?
I got to concede to you, you're going, the distinction between the destruction and the inflammation is one I'm not sure I can speak eloquently to. What, help me understand the difference between the, because I think of the two as being roughly the same. How would you distinguish the destruction from the inflammation?
I think of inflammation as a generalized process, not directed at a specific tissue. As opposed to a target of a specific tissue type, or in other words, in MS, the immune system targets certain white matter and attacks it,
yes,
as if it was a foreign invader. Whereas inflammation, you can have an inflammation of your entire meninges or the surface, the lining of your brain without a specific target.
Sorry, yes, I see the distinction you're drawing. Yes, so one of the things that you're getting at is that I hesitate to use this so broadly, but for the moment, an imbalanced immune system or an excessive immune response can take very many different facades or expressions. Some can attack a specific molecule. Some can be a more generic inflammatory response. Can I pause a second on the word inflammation?
Absolutely.
So, again, many, many know this. For me, I came as a layperson to this subject, which hopefully for better and not worse explains why I try to be as accessible as I can. But inflammation is the expression of your immune system. In ideal terms, you only experience inflammation when there is an insult to provoke it. An insult can be an infection, it can be a wound, it can take many forms. It could even be, you know, imagine a trauma where you don't see anything, but it's happening inside your body. And when you have inflammation, it doesn't exclusively mean that you are, say, if you look at one of the pictures in the book, you can see the inflamed hand of a woman who has rheumatoid arthritis, and it's just blown up in the way we think of the word inflammation. But the way the actual expression of it in immune system terms means any number of mechanisms that take place when the immune system expresses itself. And hereby, I mean things like fever. You don't think of that as inflammation, but that is an inflammatory response. Fatigue, an inflammatory response can be the response of your body to certain nutrients it rejects. It could be the response of your body to pollen or peanuts, which is an allergy. Those are inflammatory responses. So that's the broad generic meaning of that term.
Now let's go and talk about, if you will, and I want to get to two subjects if we can before we finish. One is inflammation of the brain one of the causes of dementia, or where do you think that will go? And the second is one you touch on in the book, and that is what happens when you're dying, or how does the immune system react to death?
Yes. So I want to say absolutely to the first question that we are beginning to see the links between inflammation and the brain. And one of my favorite scientists who I met in the course of this book, I hopeful people will get to the chapters about Ben Barres at Stanford, who did some and has done some amazing work on thinking about the immune system and dementia and essentially drawing parallels, very broadly drawing parallels between autoimmune disorders in the body and an excessive immune response in the brain. Now, I want to be very clear. We are talking about two of the newest areas of medicine by themselves, the neuroscience side and the immune system side. Each have been a very long time in coming because we have not been able to easily study inside the brain and the immune system at the molecular level. And so combining these, like chocolate and peanut butter, to discover them both, I don't know where that came from, a Reese's Buttercup reference. But it's this. Is it lunchtime? Is it snack time yet? This is one of those very, very fruitful areas. I want to hit on one generic thing, and then I will connect it to your last question. The generic thing is that I believe we are at an inflection point in which we are seeing the value of, or rather the significance of the immune system to almost every facet of health and medicine. And I don't know, you alluded to when you went to medical school in your early days, but for a long time, immunology was kind of a backwater. There wasn't much to say. How was it back for you then?
Well, no, that's right. Ed Engelman, who you mentioned in the book, or
yes,
at least in one of the areas, was one of the physicians that was teaching it. And it was kind of on a, on the 16 floors of Health Science East and West, it had one floor of one of those buildings. So it wasn't big time in that era as opposed to where it is now.
And it is coming into the fore in a big way. So that is a short answer, a short addendum to the question about what we're going to learn about the brain. I think we're going to learn that the gut, the brain, virtually everything we think about in medicine is going to begin to yield around conversations or include conversations around the immune system. But in the end, this actually leads us to a conversation not about life, longevity, and health, but around death. You were asking what the connection here is. Without giving all the science away, I would make the case, I would make the argument, and I do make the argument in the book, that the immune system has a lot to say not only about how and when we die, but the necessity of our death. And that the immune system plays an integral role in the survival of the individual to a point, but ultimately in the survival of the species. And in order for the species to survive, we require not only death, but what follows from death is physical space, mutation, evolution. I was going to say Darwinian evolution. I suppose that is redundant. And the immune system appears to be playing a role, without putting too fine a point on it, of preserving us as individuals and then killing us for the sake of the species. And I believe that is a very kind of novel thought, but extremely defensible. I'd be curious about your thoughts.
My thoughts on this are actually, I worry, this is the longevity scientist in me, if you will, or the aging scientist in me, not as an aging scientist, but scientists studying aging. I worry that you are right, because, in other words, if you think about the extension of lifespan, and we've been extending it about 2.5 years for every 10 years since 1850. If you look at it, are we going to take a logarithmic jump in the future? I think the data are that we will, but there are some things that will react and oppose it. One of which is, if you will, new diseases. Or new viral diseases.
And we are already seeing interesting low fertility rates for men. And I would not put it behind, I would not put it past this elegant defense that it has a larger design than we may be able to find a workaround for. This starts to get into existential, and sorry, I asked your advice, and I want to come back to it, but it gets into the existential and philosophical, and in the end, that's where these conversations lead.
I think that's probably true. They do lead there, but at least, and if you, Matt, if you went into the, and let me go back and say, we're talking to Matt Richtel, who has written a elegant book called An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System, A Tale in Four Lives. And it is beautifully done scientifically. He's true to the science. It is compellingly written, so you literally can't put it down. It is informative. It's just fun, and it's provocative. And the point that I guess I am concerned with from what he was saying is that if one of the points he makes in the book is correct, then the aging revolution or the longevity revolution that so many of the people in the aging world believe can happen by rebooting our cellular system so that we can make ourselves much younger, not just slow aging, which is rejuvenation, but regenerating ourselves. If that is true, as we're starting to see in animals, then the immune system limitation on that that he discusses in the book, again, elegantly, may be a true opposition or apposition to that other science.
You know, I did, that said, and I think it's an open question what we're describing, I do think, nonetheless, there's a lot of reason for hope, because the way I think about this, I've come to think about this, is as we understand the immune system, it can inform a healthier, more able-bodied life for the time we're here, and also even if extended only, I mean, only, you can't ever use the word only when you think about extending your life, even if it's only 6 months, only a year, only 3 years, each of those moments is precious. And so I think that even if we acknowledge that cheating death it raises all kinds of questions, understanding the immune system does give us a lot of hope for the here and now.
So let me ask one question I always ask people who write books such as this, and there is no book such as this, so we should give credit. This is an extraordinary book. It is An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System, A Tale in Four Lives by Matt Richtel, Pulitzer Prize winner. It's pretty clear why he is a Pulitzer Prize winner when you read this book. But what do you do for your immune system? What do you do to keep it, whether it's in balance or optimal for your health?
Yeah, I have really tried to live with some of the basic, with some discipline around the basic habits for which I now understand the science. And here I speak of issues like stress and understanding how powerful it is in weakening the immune system, addressing it personally, maintaining sleep, exercise, nutrition. I know these sound like homilies. They are not. Please read the science in the book. It is clear. And I will give you an example from the last few weeks. Just before I get to that, in addition to that, I've become less of a germaphobe. Remember I was talking about letting my immune system learn? No longer does the dog licking my face create terror, and no longer do I use the goo. It didn't create terror, but you know, you'd go wash up. No longer do I put the goop on my hands every time I touch a door handle. The microbes around us are part of the world we live in, and they inform my immune system and may make me healthier in the long run. I'm not suggesting not washing your hands after you use the bathroom or before you eat. I'm just saying hygiene, not hysteria. But a few weeks ago, this book came out. There was a big to-do. It came out on a big launch on NPR, shot up to 16 on Amazon. I began to get into an area of fight or flight adrenaline that undid my immune system. And no one else in our household got sick, and I got the flu. And I really had to retreat and not only sleep, but also take the steps to reduce my adrenaline, to allow my immune system to get into balance, to eat not a specific food, but the kind of nutrition that is balanced and allow my body to have the resources it needed. I believe it got me back more quickly, but I also know that because no one else in my household got sick, there was a clear relationship between the way I'd behaved and the susceptibility of my body to disease.
Yeah, I think if I was going to say, it is clear to me that stress, which is the greatest ager of all and the greatest way we can control our rate of aging by managing stress, is a clear way of impeding your immune system's ability to keep you healthy. So that's an important thing. You were also getting into another point here, I think, on the subject of what you do, which is you're doing all of the basic things because we don't know anything specific for the immune system.
Yeah, I mean, we started this by saying, talking about not boosting the immune system. I want to ground your question in that. I certainly didn't want to boost my immune system because I probably would have felt worse. But even if I had wanted to boost my immune system, the reality is we don't really know what does. For all the claims made in marketing, we don't really know what boosts or undermines the immune system when it comes to certain specific foods. When I ask the world's leading immunologists, the names, like for you, Dr. Tony Fauci, it may not mean anything to your audience, but when we talk about the luminaries, the Nobel Prize winners or would-be ones, they talk about the daily habits because they say we don't know the magic bullets yet. Everyone's a little bit different, and that's why I shy away from providing magic bullet advice and instead give the really core science that allows day-to-day decision-making.
So this is a great book. I've enjoyed talking with Matt Richtel. I hope you enjoy reading him and listening to what he has to say. It's a sensational book, An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System, A Tale in Four Lives, Pulitzer Prize winner, Matt Richtel, R-I-C-H-T-E-L, New York Times bestselling author. Thank you very much. I should tell you that when I write a book, Matt, I become an Amazon addict. I find the time in the hour when they change the top 100 rankings, which now is around 26 or 30 after the hour. Used to be 4 after the hour. Varies obviously week to week, and I follow it. And I even used to set my alarm clock to wake up in the middle of the night so I could follow it.
No,
so
you didn't. Did you?
Oh, yeah. When I actually, the first book I wrote, displaced Harry Potter for 7 days is number one. And so in that process of getting there,
I
would set it 1:04 a.m., 2:04 a.m., 3:04 a.m., etc. So I understand exactly what you're talking about, that excitement. But I should tell all our audience, please do buy this book. It's worth exciting Matt for your own education. Send him to the bestseller list and to becoming an Amazon addict like I am. Thanks very much, Matt.
Everyone can rest assured, even if you get me excited, I will meditate and play tennis. So I'll do my best to counteract.
So thanks very much. And Darren, thank you for great engineering, and especially the 51,000 of you for downloading us. This is 938 The B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Thanks again. Tell your friends about Matt and the book, An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System by Matt Richtel. And you'll want to actually follow him as an author, because if he comes out with another book, I'm going to try and have him on and certainly buy it. Thanks again.